208. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Chad Hartman's off today. My name's Chris Seggert. I do the news on Channel 5. Earlier in the show, if you missed it, we talked had a nice conversation with one of Tim Walz's former coaching mates. He was the head coach at Mankato West when Tim Walz was an assistant. His name's Rick Sutton. He's a co-coach down at Farmington right now, and you can catch that right now on the Chad Hartman podcast page if you want to go back and listen to that. And it was an interesting conversation with him. Talked a lot about the qualities of Tim Walz as a coach and less about Tim Walz as a politician. A little bit of backstory to kind of maybe understand the character a little bit more. Joining us now on the phone is Tom Hauser, the chief political reporter with Five Eyewitness News and my fellow St. Thomas football fan, on the phone today to talk a little bit more about Governor Walz and sort of what we can expect over the next couple days. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Chris.
I want to talk a little bit about message we've heard so far. They've basically been giving the same speech in their last several appearances.
Yes, they have. And that's going to be pretty standard, something we're not used to hearing here in Minnesota, unless you really pay attention as a political nerd like me, because we have not had a Minnesotan on the national ticket for either of the major parties in 40 years, since Walter Mondale ran for president in 1984, and before that for vice president. And so it's what you're going to see from Tim Walz is him delivering the same speech city after city after city after city. Kamala Harris, the same speech in each of these cities, because they're trying to stick with the message. They're trying to stay on message, repeat it in market after market after market, so it ends up on local television news, so it gets to the people who maybe don't watch cable news or network news, and that is pretty common. You're going to see less of that with Donald Trump, who tends to speak off the cuff and riff, and almost like he's doing a stand-up act, and you never know where he's going to go. A lot of the bullet points he gets to are the same, but it's not a scripted format. The news conference he is currently engaged in at this moment would be an example of that.
So I'm glad you brought this up, Tom, because a lot of local people who've been paying attention in the news the last couple of days, I know a lot of the TV stations, including us, have been carrying these speeches they've been making, and it definitely, you tell it's the same speech. That's not that unusual. What's unusual is we're covering it in a different way because we've got Tim Walz there and he's our governor. So this, what is typically would be a national story, sort of become a local story. And that's why, you know, you've been hearing this again. If you wouldn't mind, Tom, I know one of the big criticisms that's been coming from the Trump Vance ticket is that you've got Kamala Harris and you've got Tim Walz, and Walz, in fairness to him, has just joined the ticket. But Harris herself not sitting down and doing some kind of a formal interview with someone. Why is that important?
Well, it's important because it's the only way to get them away from the choreography that they're doing, which are all of these scripted appearances where they control the entire message. Nobody has been allowed to ask either of them any questions yet. Now, again, in fairness to Governor Walz, he's been on the ticket since Tuesday. It is currently Thursday. But Kamala Harris has been running for much longer, 2.5 weeks, something like that. And what you're going to see now, and what we've seen the last couple of days, and you'll see over the next few days, is J.D. Vance, Donald Trump's running mate, and Trump himself, who is doing a live news conference right now as we speak, taking questions from reporters. J.D. Vance, when he was in Eau Claire yesterday, gave a speech at this private event at a manufacturing plant, and then he took questions from local reporters and national reporters. He did it the day before that in Philadelphia when I was out there covering the Harris-Walz campaign stop. J.D. Vance had already been there earlier in the day, again taking questions. And what they're trying to do is point out that, look, at Trump and Vance will take questions from the media, regardless of what the questions are, hard questions or easy questions. And so far, the Harris-Walz campaign is not doing that.
Take me inside a little bit. I'm thinking of Stephanopoulos. George Stephanopoulos with ABC interviewed President Biden. I think he was the first person to get an interview after the debate debacle. From what you know about how that works, Tom, before the president or vice president to sit down and agree to some kind of an interview like that, are there any ground rules that are set, or do they go in basically thinking they could be asked anything?
Well, generally, any self-respecting journalist will say, I can ask anything I want. You don't have to answer, but I get to ask the question. I have never given somebody, sometimes you'll get politicians or others who will ask for the questions in advance. And I go, I won't give you questions in advance. I might give you topic areas that I know I'm going to hit on, but and I'm not going to restrict myself to those, because I may send those to you on Tuesday and the interview is on Wednesday, and then the world may change in those next 24 hours, and then I reserve the right to ask about another topic. But I don't give questions. I'm sure George Stephanopoulos does not give questions. At least I would assume he does not. And most of the people who conduct those interviews do not give questions or agree to not ask about certain things.
I just wanted you to point that out, because I think there is a perception in the public that those sorts of things are all prearranged and they're not going to ask them any tough questions, and it's going to be friendly confines. But that is not the case.
You may recall there was a dust up during the 2016 campaign where the DNC was said to be kind of in cahoots with the Hillary Clinton campaign to make sure that she won, and there were some I forget all the details, but there were she was getting some questions for a debate or something, maybe in advance. I can't remember all the details, but I remember that became a huge controversy because that just isn't done. I remember Donna Brazile was involved in that and had to apologize later. And yeah, that in terms of journalists, though, that is just not something we do, or certainly not something we should do, something I would never do.
Yeah, I appreciate you pointing that out, Tom. So what's next here? We've got the Democratic convention, what, in a couple of weeks in Chicago?
Yes, the 19th to the 22nd, and that is going to be, you know, this has kind of been Tim Walz's coming out party as the VP candidate this week. But he'll really, be seen by many, many Americans, likely on the Wednesday of that convention. The interesting thing is, and I don't know how this is going to work, as the head of the Democratic Governors Association, he is also was asked to be the chairman of the Rules Committee for the convention. So now I don't know if he's handed those responsibilities off to someone else. But even before he was elevated to the VP running mate position, he was already scheduled to have a primetime speech on that Monday night of the convention. I don't know if that is still the case. All of this is still so brand new. We really don't know. And one thing I just want to mention for the viewers and listeners of WCCO, but the viewers of KSTP, tonight Eric Chaillou will be taking a look at this Donald Trump news conference. One of the things he said about Tim Walz was that Tim Walz supports abortion after birth. Of all the untruths and outright lies and misinformation I have heard on the campaign trail, that might be the worst. And he said that today. I don't know where that came from, but Tim Walz has never said, I support abortion after birth. Eric Chaillou is going to be breaking some of that down tonight while I'm taking a look at the military records of Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. So there's going to be a lot to cover, as you know, over the next 90 days. But those are a couple of things to look for today.
Well, and I would say a lot of that stuff that's going around is getting generated on social media. And I know, Tom, you spend a fair amount of time on Twitter like I do, too. I think it's important that we're fact-checking some of that stuff, because I think there's a lot of untruth going around on social media. I would also say I feel like, as far as the people drawing their line in the sand, it seems like the Republican or the Democrat base, people who maybe didn't know about Tim Walz, gauging what I'm seeing on social media, seem pretty excited about him. America's dad, that whole kind of deal. And I see a lot of the people on the right side of it, which you would expect attacking his record and, you know, accusing him of being about as far left as you could be. Does he change anybody's mind? Does Tim Walz make a difference to the undecided voter? Because isn't that kind of who we're talking to, or that, you know, that everyone's trying to target right now?
I don't think there's going to be a huge impact. I know the Harris campaign is hoping that this Midwestern folksy governor can win them over, maybe some converts, some independents in rural areas of the country. But, you know, you got to look, even here in Minnesota, Governor Walz, because he has gone progressively to the left in the way he has governed, largely because the legislature is way to the left and they have pulled him over with them. His approval rating in Minnesota in our last KSTP Survey USA poll was 56%, but in rural Minnesota, it's 44%. Mm-hmm. So that is a big difference. And I don't know, as people out in rural America learn more about some of the legislation Governor Walz has signed into law, that he is going to be considered, you know, somebody who's going to attract a lot of votes in those areas. That's going to be one of the really interesting things, is to see how the Trump campaign and the Vance campaign try to portray and define Tim Walz in those areas where Donald Trump is generally very popular.
We've got Tom Hauser with Five Eyewitness News on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, if you'd like to weigh in. Tom, did have one question come in here from one of the listeners, if I could ask you about, not to put you on the spot, but we do have the primary election that's coming up on the 13th. What are a couple headlines that stand out for you on the primary?
Well, you know, it's going to be the biggest one, I think, is going to be Ilhan Omar against Don Samuels. Mm-hmm. This is very under the radar because of everything else that's going on with the presidential race and Biden and the assassination attempt. And but the big one to look at is the Ilhan Omar, Don Samuels. As you know, a couple of members of the so-called squad in D.C. have recently lost their primaries, and largely over the Palestinian issue. I don't know if that, how that's going to come to play here, but Don Samuels came very close to beating Ilhan Omar 2 years ago. And so that's one that we're going to be watching, because whoever wins that will go on to win the general election. And then, of course, there's the U.S. Senate primary between Royce White, who is the endorsed candidate, and Joe Frazier. That is going to be really interesting because some of the record of Royce White, his campaign finance issues, and some other issues that he has faced. Those are two of the bigger ones we'll be watching, along with a lot of legislative primaries as well. But it's not as big of a primary as we often see. And plus, turnout will probably be pretty low because of just how it's the middle of summer. People are focused on other things. So we'll see what happens. But we'll, of course, be covering that on Tuesday night.
All right, very good, Tom. I'll let you go. And I know you got all kinds of stuff to be doing the rest of the day today. So thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, Chris.
That is Tom Hauser with Five Eyewitness News, talking about some of the nuances of what you're hearing out there on the campaign trail from Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. There's a little something that Tim Walz has mentioned over the last couple of days that I'm a little dusted up over, and I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's necessary. So we'll get into that when we come back. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. News Talk 830 WCCO. Appreciate you listening today. Chad Hartman is off. My name is Chris Seggert. I do the news over at Channel 5. It was good to connect with Tom Hauser with Five Eyewitness News, talk a little bit about some of the Walz angles that they're working on. Obviously, it's been a huge story. Tim Walz named as Kamala Harris's running mate. We've got maybe less than 90 days. I can't remember if it's 89 or 90 days.
We're down to 89.
89. Okay. What's the difference? But yeah.
It's about 3 months. That's what we're going with here.
Yeah. And it seems like how could we keep this conversation going for 3 months? And I do realize, and of course, we're hearing from many of you on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. I think Tim Walz within a certain part of this community is very popular, and in the state of Minnesota is very popular, obviously. But there's a lot of you out there who do not like his policies, and he is too far left for you, and you have a lot of hang-ups about how he handled COVID and the feeding our future and the National Guard and George Floyd riots. And, you know, we're going to have that dialogue a lot over the next several months, as we should. And as Hauser pointed out, I think it's important for at some point for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz to get off their scripted speeches and sit down with somebody and take some questions so we can learn more about what they plan to do and how their policies differ from that of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. So I think those conversations are going to come. They're definitely going to come. As Tom was saying, though, right now, it's like their stump speech, and they're going to be giving that speech several times and to several different audiences. And you know, your local stations, we won't play that in its entirety anymore because we know what the speech is. We're trying to advance things and try to hear something new. Something really, really, really jumped out at me at the speech. And again, I'm coming to this as a journalist who's a registered independent. I'm as far down the middle. I'm Switzerland on everything as much as I can be. As an observer, though, I was a little perplexed at Tim Walz's dig at J.D. Vance about this internet rumor that's been proven not true about J.D. Vance and his book. And there was an internet rumor that there's a chapter in there about J.D. Vance and his couch. And
odd sexual things.
Yeah. On the couch. And which is not true. Not true. And we can play the audio. I want you to listen in from this clip. From this would have been his acceptance speech.
This was Tuesday, the first big speech.
Got it.
And I got to tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy. That is, if he's willing to get off the couch and show up. So, you see what I did there?
And then the follow-up with the, you see what I did there?
We all saw it. We all saw it, Governor. It's very clear what you did.
It just seemed unnecessary. I thought, to that point, and this is an observer of communication, not as a journalist, just I'm just regular guy pointing this out. I just didn't feel it was necessary. I felt he looked very presidential up to that point. So then why just throttle that down and go for that joke?
I'm with you on this because the first time I heard it, I was thinking the same thing of, I think that's a little below you right now, at least what you're trying to be. And as the Democrats have, you know, rightly or wrongly, depending on your point of view, complained about Donald Trump now for many years.
Yes.
About the nicknames he gives people, about lies and disinformation and, you know, making up facts that suit his that suit him at that moment. To make a joke about something that, as you said, has already been proven untrue, it's kind of dabbling in that same territory, aren't we?
Does it appeal to younger voters? That's the one thing
to the crowd.
That's the one thing I keep falling back on was this a very specific thing that was added, or either Walz or speechwriter or whoever. I don't know how that works. I assume he didn't just go up there and wing that speech. I know he didn't. Did somebody feel that particular quip would be something that would get traction with younger voters? And again, back to what we talked about with Hauser, younger undecided voters, because that's really who they're trying to get. Those are the people they need. In fact, I think I heard on one of the shows with Adam and Jordana earlier this week that they had an expert on that basically comes down to five counties in the entire United States.
How about that?
So does some young person in one of those five counties hear that and go, ah, that's Tim Walz, he's funny. They got my vote now. And then last night or yesterday in Eau Claire, there to me was a similar comment, and I want to play that for you.
Donald Trump, he sees the world differently than we see it. He has no understanding of service because he's too busy servicing himself. Again and again and again.
He's too busy servicing himself again and again and again with kind of a smirk on his face. I don't know how many out of you out there are familiar with what the slang is to that, but it's kind of in the same territory
I think everyone's fairly familiar.
as the J.D. Vance couch thing. And again, I'm like why? Was it necessary?
If he meant it in that way, no. I heard it and was confused because he used almost the same line in the speech Tuesday where he said Trump knows nothing about serving.
He said,
he's too busy serving himself.
Yep.
And then he changed it to servicing. So I was, as I heard it yesterday, I was wondering, did he misspeak?
Or that's a great point.
Did we hear the reaction, the absolute guffaws that were coming in front and behind Governor Walz as he made the J.D. Vance comment Tuesday?
Right.
And are we now playing into that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as someone who reads a teleprompter for a living, there is an art to it. And sometimes you do get
Van Gogh.
I'm just saying, you can tell if people can read the teleprompter or not. Apparently, Governor Walz hasn't had a lot of experience with teleprompters, what I was hearing. And so these speeches are that could very well be that it was supposed to say serving, and he
already
just sort of
service,
saw it and it already said servicing, sure. And then sort of went with it. I guess on the high. I'm gonna go high. We'll give him that one. That was not a
very Minnesotan of you to do.
I mean, because I don't know. I mean, we haven't talked to him.
We don't know, but I mean, the precedent had already been set, and that's why you're questioning this, because as we talked about on Tuesday, it was the J.D. Vance line that I think we both
said. And the weird thing has been kind of a little bit stuck in my craw too, because it's a clever way to attack without really attacking. A lot of people think that whole weird Tim Walz calling J.D. Vance and Donald Trump weird thing is one of the reasons he's there right now, is because he really turned that into a thing and
stuck.
And it stuck.
A journalist asked Vance just yesterday, I think it was, or the day before. No, it was yesterday. Are you a weird guy?
That's what I mean.
You make J.D. Vance now answer that
That's
question.
What I mean. Like it, and he had that in the stump speech too, or in the acceptance speech. I kind of figured he would have to do that just because, like, that's your line. Mm-hmm. That's why you're here. We need that line. We definitely need that line. We're hearing from a lot of you here. StylesFinancial.com, talk and text line, 651-461-9226. We'll read some of your comments when we come back. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 2:42. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Appreciate you being here. Chad Hartman is off today. Jason DeRussia will be in here in just a little bit. My name is Chris Eggert. I do the news over on Channel 5. Good to spend a couple hours with you. We've had great conversations here so far. Been talking some politics because I feel like we have to. We've got to talk about it's been a big week for Governor Tim Walz, and spotlight shined on Minnesota, and lots of conversation here, and lots of issues coming up, pointing out of Tim Walz's record, and a lot of discussion about just how far left he is and the choice with Harris and how that could impact undecided voters out there. And we talked with Tom Hauser a little bit earlier with Channel 5, sort of talking about what's next and when we expect to start hearing them go Harris-Walz go off script a little bit. And sitting down and doing some interviews and answering some questions about policy and getting away from this sort of the same speech we've heard for about, you know, the last three or four speeches now. I did ask as we went to break, and I wanted you guys to weigh in on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line, 651-461-9226. I brought up the J.D. Vance couch quip that Governor Walz made at his acceptance speech, and I just said my opinion. I thought it was unnecessary. Am I being a prude? I don't know. I just felt like he didn't need to do it. And you guys have thoughts, so let's hear them. Chris, yep, everyone who still references the Vance couch gag knows it's a fake. It's still alive and well on the internets, though. Too dang funny to drop now. Walz used it for an easy joke, only for the Gen X street cred, or Gen Z street cred. I mean, that's, yep.
Oh, and there was no clip being pushed harder on social media than that one from Tuesday.
I asked the question, is this going to get younger Democrats energized? This kind of thing, maybe he's not even comfortable doing. Maybe he, you know, he's like, listen, we got to start appealing to younger people. You're a 60-year-old guy from Minnesota. Like, but we need to be a little edgy. We need to start doing some of this. And that's kind of the job of the vice president in some ways, sort of being able to be more of an attack dog than what the presidential candidate themselves says. One of the comments, I think you're being a bit sensitive about this. Yes, I'm a biased Democrat, but as a younger voter, the off-color jokes make you more relatable. Okay. Somebody says, whoever you are, you don't get it, pal. Fair. Okay. I can't argue with that.
Regarding this or many other things.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? They're not wrong. Let's see. This is an interesting one. I should get into this because this has been on social media too. So a lot of the aggressive conservative websites and social media have been referring to Tim Walz as Tampon Tim because of a story that Governor Walz greenlighted making tampons available for in the men's restrooms as well. So you're seeing a lot of that. The person asked, really, Tim, but Tampon Tim is okay? I don't know. That's on Twitter. No one said that in a speech. Mm-hmm. I have not heard Donald Trump or J.D. Vance refer to Tim Walz as that, Tampon Tim, in a speech. So when that happens, if that happens, then I think the conversation changes.
Yeah,
what's
does.
On social media and what's coming out of their mouths are two different things. They're not, I mean, so just to be clear, I live in southern Minnesota. I cannot understand why the rural areas are mostly red. I just don't get it. We need help out here. Family stores are closed. Our towns are dying. They have very little offer unless we drive 20 to 30 miles for what they can't buy here or won't buy here because it's so expensive. So they put 329 gas in their vehicles. I'm sorry, I don't feel many people in the areas are informed or they don't care. Trump grew up with a few gold toilets and hasn't had a clue at any time that we used outhouses. Huge differences. Okay. Comment coming from southern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Dems want to get down in the gutter with Trump and appeal to the lowest common denominator. Sad. In all caps. Will Minnesota mainstream media investigate all the claims about the action statements and policies of Tim Walz? We'll see. Hasn't happened in the last few years. I will say this. We talked to Tom Hauser of Channel 5 a short time ago, and he told us specifically two stories that they're working on for the news tonight on Channel 5. One of them is the stolen valor and the military service conversation, and now it's escaping me what he said Eric Chaloux was working on. Oh, he's going to be listening to Donald Trump's speech. And breaking
their
down
press
some
conference.
Of that. So I can tell you that right now. Hauser's doing his best to try to cover these things. A lot of these things were covered when Governor Walz was up for re-election, but we've got a brighter light shining on us right now. So there you go. It's going to be more scrutiny, and all this stuff's going to be coming up again. I am decidedly neutral on Tim Walz. You're splitting hairs on Walz's comments. They are mild compared to the mean-spirited bullying, lies, and name-calling by Trump. Is it that big a deal? No, I just didn't necessarily think it was, like, why? He looked presidential. I thought he looked, I mean, he looked like he was accepting the presidential nomination. He didn't look like he was the vice president, right? Wow. When he first started and came out. And
I think objectively, he was killing it.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, that was, I mean, he was in charge. He was loud. He was boisterous. He was getting tremendous applause from obviously very biased crowd.
Yeah.
But he was loving it. They were loving him. But like you, I just thought that one line was, man, if you're going to complain about the other side making up nicknames, disinformation about, you know, your candidates or what's going on in the country. It got too close to that for me. It was just, okay, well, if you're going to complain about it, maybe stay away from it in your very first speech for your, you know, VP candidate.
The more we talk this out, it does make me think that like somebody was like, we got to start being a little more edgy. This may not be your game, but it needs to be. I like to think Tim Walz is, when governing the state of Minnesota, let's say prior to all this, he's not like just sitting around and Twitter looking at J.D. Vance conspiracy theories, right? I like to think he's doing more important things than that.
Probably not.
Is he even aware of it? Or was that something that, you know, he was made aware of?
And said, I think you're aware.
We're going to throw this little thing into your speech. I don't know. We're not going to figure it out today. I love hearing from you. StylesFinancial.com. Talking text line 651-461-9226. It is garden season in Minnesota, and I don't want your zucchini. Still ahead. News Talk 830 WCCO. Time is 2:55. Time check brought to you by Lindus Construction. Time check. Time to upgrade your roof with GAF asphalt shingles and receive free installation and labor. Just about three. Jason DeRush just walked in. Hello, Jason.
How are you?
You guys have a garden?
Yes.
Do you grow zucchini?
Hell no.
Thank you.
I've made that mistake.
Thank you.
I did zucchini, I did cucumbers, and both can go and cram it as far as I'm concerned.
My neighbor tried to give me zucchini the other day, and they're good friends. Yeah. And I looked at it and I said, nobody wants your zucchini.
No. Now that I don't grow it, I would take like maybe two. Give me two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But people want, the yield was ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing. They grow like crazy.
Yes.
The problem is, they don't taste like anything.
Wow.
And there's a reason we turn them into bread. That's, because if you just
quote,
dump a
unquote,
bunch of,
bread,
bunch
like,
of sugar on it, then it's good.
Zucchini is akin to watermelon for me.
Yeah.
Too much water, not enough flavor.
I can see it.
I've had good zucchini.
Yeah.
But, not worth the
filler.
Fact that it crowds everything else out in your garden.
It's just filler, like the last 3 hours you heard before Jason.
Got three more hours of zucchini coming up.
All filler. Have a great day, everybody. It is 2:42. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Appreciate you being here. Chad Hartman is off today. Jason DeRussia will be in here in just a little bit. My name is Chris Eggert. I do the news over on Channel 5. Good to spend a couple hours with you. We've had great conversations here so far. Been talking some politics because I feel like we have to. We've got to talk about it's been a big week for Governor Tim Walz, and spotlight shined on Minnesota, and lots of conversation here, and lots of issues coming up. Lots of pointing out of Tim Walz's record, and a lot of discussion about just how far left he is and the choice with Harris and how that could impact undecided voters out there. And we talked with Tom Hauser a little bit earlier with Channel 5, sort of talking about what's next and when we expect to start hearing them go Harris-Walz go off script a little bit. And sitting down and doing some interviews and answering some questions about policy and getting away from this sort of the same speech we've heard for about, you know, the last three or four speeches now. I did ask as we went to break, and I wanted you guys to weigh in on the StylesFinancial.com talking text line 651-461-9226. I brought up the J.D. Vance couch quip that Governor Walz made at his acceptance speech. And I just said my opinion. I thought it was unnecessary. Am I being a prude? I don't know. I just felt like he didn't need to do it. And you guys have thoughts, so let's hear them. Chris, yep, everyone who still references the Vance couch gag knows it's a fake. It's still alive and well on the internets, though. Too dang funny to drop now. Walz used it for an easy joke only for the Gen X street cred or Gen Z street cred. I mean, that's.
Oh, and there was no clip being pushed harder on social media
than
that one from Tuesday.
I asked the question, is this going to get younger Democrats energized? This kind of thing, maybe he's not even comfortable doing. Maybe he's like, listen, we got to start appealing to younger people. You're a 60-year-old guy from Minnesota. Like, but we need to be a little edgy. We need to start doing some of this. And that's kind of the job of the vice president in some ways, sort of being able to be more of an attack dog than what the presidential candidate themselves says. One of the comments, I think you're being a bit sensitive about this. Yes, I'm a biased Democrat, but as a younger voter, the off-color jokes make you more relatable. Okay. Somebody says, whoever you are, you don't get it, pal. Fair. Okay. I can't argue with that.
Regarding this or many other things.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? They're not wrong. Let's see. This is an interesting one. I should get into this because this has been on social media too. So a lot of the aggressive conservative websites and social media have been referring to Tim Walz as Tampon Tim because of a story that Governor Walz greenlighted making tampons available for in the men's restrooms as well. So you're seeing a lot of that. The person asked, really, Tim, but Tampon Tim is okay? I don't know. That's on Twitter. No one said that in a speech. Mm-hmm. I have not heard Donald Trump or J.D. Vance refer to Tim Walz as that, Tampon Tim, in a speech. So when that happens, if that happens, then I think the conversation changes.
What's on
social media and what's coming out of their mouths are two different things. They're not, I mean, so just to be clear, I live in southern Minnesota. I cannot understand why the rural areas are mostly red. I just don't get it. We need help out here. Family stores are closed. Our towns are dying. They have very little offer unless we drive 20 to 30 miles for what they can't buy here or won't buy here because it's so expensive. So they put $3.29 gas in their vehicles. I'm sorry, I don't feel many people in the areas are informed or they don't care. Trump grew up with a few gold toilets and hasn't had a clue at any time that we used outhouses. Huge differences. Okay? Comment coming from southern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Dems want to get down in the gutter with Trump and appeal to the lowest common denominator. Sad. In all caps. Will Minnesota mainstream media investigate all the claims about the action statements and policies of Tim Walz? We'll see. Hasn't happened in the last few years. I will say this. We talked to Tom Hauser at Channel 5 a short time ago, and he told us specifically two stories that they're working on for the news tonight on Channel 5. One of them is the stolen valor and the military service conversation, and now it's escaping me what he said Eric Chaillou was working on. Oh, he was going to be listening to Donald Trump's speech. And breaking
their
down
press
some
conference.
Of that. So I can tell you that right now. Hauser's doing his best to try to cover these things. A lot of these things were covered when Governor Walz was up for re-election, but we've got a brighter light shining on us right now. So there you go. It's going to be more scrutiny, and all this stuff's going to be coming up again. I am decidedly neutral on Tim Walz. You're splitting hairs on Walz's comments. They are mild compared to the mean-spirited bullying, lies, and name-calling by Trump. Is it that big a deal? No, I just didn't necessarily think it was, like, why? He looked presidential. He looked like he was accepting the presidential nomination. He didn't look like he was the vice president, right? When he first started and came out and
I think objectively, he was killing it.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, he was in charge. He was loud. He was boisterous. He was getting tremendous applause from obviously very biased crowd.
Yeah.
But he was loving it. They were loving him. But like you, I just thought that one line was, man, if you're going to complain about the other side making up nicknames, disinformation about, you know, your candidates or what's going on in the country. It got too close to that for me. It was just, okay, well, if you're going to complain about it, maybe stay away from it in your very first speech for your, you know, VP candidate.
The more we talk this out, it does make me think that, like, somebody was like, we got to start being a little more edgy. This may not be your game, but it needs to be. I mean, I like to think Tim Walz is, when governing the state of Minnesota, let's say prior to all this, he's not like just sitting around and Twitter looking at J.D. Vance conspiracy theories, right? I like to think he's doing more important things than that.
Probably not.
Is he even aware of it? Or was that something that, you know, he was made aware of?
I think you're aware
of it. We're going to throw this little thing into your speech. I don't know. I'm not going to figure it out today. I love hearing from you. StylesFinancial.com. Talking text line 651-461-9226. It is garden season in Minnesota, and I don't want your zucchini. Still ahead. News Talk 830 WCCO. Time is 2:55. Time check brought to you by Lindus Construction. Time check. Time to upgrade your roof with GAF asphalt shingles and receive free installation and labor. Just about three. Jason DeRush just walked in. Hello, Jason.
How are you?
You guys have a garden?
Yes.
Do you grow zucchini?
Hell no.
Thank you.
I made that mistake.
Thank you.
I did zucchini, I did cucumbers, and both can go and cram it as far as I'm concerned.
My neighbor tried to give me zucchini the other day, and they're good friends. Yeah. And I looked at it and I said, nobody wants your zucchini.
No. Now that I don't grow it, I would take like maybe two. Give me two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But people want, the yield was ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing. They grow like crazy.
Yes.
The problem is, they don't taste like anything. Wow. And there's a reason we turn them into bread, because if you just dump a bunch of sugar on it, then it's good.
Zucchini is akin to watermelon for me.
Yeah.
Too much water, not enough flavor.
I can see it.
I mean, I've had good zucchini.
Yeah.
But, not worth the fact that it crowds everything else out in your garden.
It's just filler, like the last 3 hours you heard before Jason.
Got three more hours of zucchini coming up.
All filler. Have a great day, everybody. Time is 2:55. Time check brought to you by Lindus Construction. Time check. Time to upgrade your roof with GAF asphalt shingles and receive free installation and labor. Just about three. Jason DeRush just walked in. Hello, Jason.
How are you?
You guys have a garden?
Yes.
Do you grow zucchini?
Hell no.
Thank you.
I made that mistake.
Thank you.
I did zucchini, I did cucumbers, and both can go and cram it as far as I'm concerned.
My neighbor tried to give me zucchini the other day, and they're good friends. Yeah. And I looked at it and I said, nobody wants your zucchini.
No. Now that I don't grow it, I would take like maybe two. Give me two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But people want, the yield was ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing. They grow like crazy.
Yes.
The problem is, they don't taste like anything. Wow. And there's a reason we turn them into bread, because if you just dump a bunch of sugar on it, then it's good.
Zucchini is akin to watermelon for me.
Yeah.
Too much water, not enough flavor.
I can see it.
I mean, I've had good zucchini.
Yeah.
But, not worth the fact that it crowds everything else out in your garden.
It's just filler, like the last 3 hours you heard before Jason.
Got three more hours of zucchini coming up.
All filler. Have a great day, everybody.